Morning. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we're the pastors of Grace Christian Center, and we welcome you to Grace Christian Center Online. And we are absolutely honored that you are here with us today. We're thankful that you're here with us. It's a joy and pleasure to be with you. And we pray that you experience a wonderful sense of the presence of Jesus this morning as we worship him through music and song and especially through the preaching of the word. I know Pastor Sherry has some excellent things to share with you, and the Lord has prepared my heart to talk more about the Holy Spirit and his place in our life. He is the one who is in charge, and he's the one we love and adore. Won't you join with me as we quote the scripture we always begin with? Psalm 118, verse 24 declares, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And so today we're going to celebrate. So sing with us if you know the song. We're not professionals. We're just here with full hearts to worship him. Well, he is the Lord. He reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Through his high time to enter the the day that we honor those who have fallen, who have served on our behalf, men and women of the military, who have served on our behalf and served on the behalf of freedom-loving people all around the world. As Kevin and Sherry, as a congregation, as Christians, I hope and I know that we are, as well as you, most grateful to be able to live here and celebrate the presence of the Lord and the freedom and liberty we have. Now, I know we're frustrated in this quarantining time, and I know there's been a presidential declaration, and some of the states are having angst as they work all that out, but they haven't forbidden us to preach, and if they do forbid us to preach, we will all rise up together for our Christian values to obey God rather than man, and we stand up to declare him, and just know that on your behalf, we've been in touch with many county leaders and state leaders, etc. We're working on getting back together again just as soon as we can, but let's go back to Memorial Day. Memorial Day is an American holiday. It's observed on the last Monday in May, honoring the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. Now, again, this occurs for us tomorrow on May 25th. Originally, it was called Declaration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War. Now, the Civil War ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history. It required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries, and by the 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities across the land had begun to hold springtime tributes to their honored dead, the fallen soldiers. And Memorial Day became an official holiday in America in 1971. Mm-hmm. So normally in this particular time of year, on this particular day, multitudes of people go to the cemeteries to honor the fallen, those who are heroes who have served on our behalf. And this year that's going to be different. I know they're giving special passes to those who actually have someone they love who's been laid to rest or interred in that cemetery. But we still honor them, and we thank God for our men and women in military now and our men and women who have served the Lord, served us, and who have fallen on our behalf. We are grateful. So why don't you join with me in prayer in honoring the families and those who have fallen, would you? Father, we thank you that you are our God, our Lord, that it is your blood that cleanses us that allows us to come to you, to approach you, to worship you and adore you. And we are so grateful for the blood that you've shed on our behalf. But Lord, even as we pause for a moment on this Memorial Day weekend and we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, we do so with utter thanksgiving for the blood shed by the men and women in military uniform who have served us, who have served freedom-loving people all around the world and given the ultimate sacrifice. No greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you, Lord, for the multitudes who have laid their lives down for us.
Yes.
We honor them today, Lord, and we ask you to honor, bless their families, those who still have hurting holes in their heart. Let their memories be treasured and precious even today as we honor them on this Memorial Day. We thank you, Lord, for these freedoms. In Jesus' name, they all said,
amen.
Pastor Sherry, why don't you welcome some of those people who have come on board with us here.
Great to see you this morning. And Daria, delighted to have you with us. Bronwyn, it's good to be together, even on video.
Indeed. And we know others will be joining us. We've had people from all around places in the United States, and we're just honored that you're with us. Pastor Sherry, what's the Lord put on your heart today?
Well, we're in Psalm 65 today, verses 1 through 7. And I read it in King James, and it was too wordy. It didn't work for me. Then I read it in Passion, and I thought, gracious sakes, I'm not nuts about this one either. So in my Bible program on my computer, it'll put each translation next to each other in parallel. And so I brought them all up. Every one. So I have compiled my tapestry version of Psalm 65 verses 1 through 7. So let me read to you the verses that the translations, each verse in a different translation.
As you get ready to do that, we welcome Joseph Guerrera and the Withers and the Logs with us, more people coming on. I'm looking forward to hearing the verses God's given you. Thank you.
Okay. Verse number 1 I chose from the New Living. What mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion. We will fulfill our vows to you.
Amen.
Hey,
beautiful.
Is that right?
Beautiful.
Do you agree with me? Mighty praise belongs to him.
Amen.
Not just sloshy, slide around praise, but absolutely mighty praise belongs to him.
Very
Amen.
Good.
And we will indeed fulfill our vows to you as you help us do that. Verse 2 from God's Word. That's an old translation. You are the one who hears our prayers. Everyone will come to you. Verse 3, this one works in the Passion, okay? Though we are overcome by our many sins, your sacrifice covers them all.
Praise God.
Does it?
Praise God.
Or does it?
Yes, it does.
His sacrifice,
thank you, Jesus.
His once for all sacrifice covers every sin, past, present, and future.
Beautiful.
For me. His
beautiful
sacrifice is good enough. And then verse 4, I liked out of the Amplified. It's a little wordy, but I like the words. Blessed. What does that blessed mean? Amplified tells us. It means happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man whom you choose and cause to come near, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
Beautiful.
Amen. I will be satisfied with the goodness of his house. And guess what? All of you are in there with me too.
Amen.
I love it. And that makes us happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And we'll be even more so when we get together again.
Amen.
In the sanctuary. Won't that be awesome, being together? Wow. Wow.
Indeed.
Even if we have to stay 6 feet apart, still we can wave and smile and see each other.
That's
going to be tremendous.
That's right.
So, Christians are happy, fortunate, and to be envied. I love it.
Amen.
Because God called me to himself, to come near to him. And then verses 5 through 7, I chose the Message translation. All your salvation wonders are on display in your trophy room.
Oh, beautiful.
Earth tamer, ocean pourer, mountain maker, Hilldresser, muzzler of sea and storm, and wave crash of mobs in noisy riot. Wow! Earth Tamer, Mountain Pourer. Wow!
Fantastic.
Absolutely awesome. But that, I couldn't stop there. I just went on. God, you are the waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, my God. That is who you are. And that's who we're going to worship today. He is all those things. That new song, Waymaker, is really a neat song. If you haven't heard it, go on YouTube. And just put in the title Waymaker and it'll come up. Listen to it this afternoon and be lifted in spirit, because he is my waymaker, my miracle worker, my promise keeper, my light in this present darkness. My God, that is who you are. Well, how are we going to sing about that?
Well, we're just going to have to sing that chorus, Pastor okay. Sherry. Take it away.
Right.
Okay, here we go, guys. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Amen.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a great God we get to worship.
Now lead us into worship.
I'm waiting for you to do the solo.
Oh, right. You'll wait a long time.
No, you sound
good. In heaven when God gives me a new voice. Amen.
No, you sound beautiful.
In the meantime, I love your voice.
You're sweet. Chris Cohen, we welcome you and the Josephs. So we're going to sing to the Lord. Let's go back to that first song we did, because it's got so many great things to say as we celebrate him today. It goes like this. He is the Lord. He reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Who is like unto him, never ending of days. He is the Lord. And he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord, our God. Show your power, O Lord, our God. O Lord, our God. Second verse. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. You are the Lord. It's the power of God for our salvation. You are the Lord. We ask not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord. And for our inheritance, give us the lost. You send your power, send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, show your power. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the praises of the King rise upon us. Let it rise. Songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King
and let it rise. Just let his presence rise up within you as you worship him, like Pastor Sherry said this morning. Oh, 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 let it rise. Again, Brother Smith. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the praises of the King rise upon us. Let it rise. Oh, let the songs of the Lord rise upon us. Let the songs of the Lord among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, oh, let it rise.
The sons and the daughters sing, I'm surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Slow it down a little bit, but
that be your prayer this morning? Let me just go over that chorus with you again. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me. Now, the gracious part of what Jesus has done for us is the Holy Spirit does live inside of us. But we also become more sensitive to Him, hearing His voice, understanding His presence, as we come and wait upon Him, as we sing and give praise, and as we focus our heart to Him. You know, so many things happen in life and in the world every single day, but we can turn our eyes on Jesus. We can welcome Him. Just say that with me right now, right where you are. I welcome you, Lord Jesus. I welcome you, Holy Spirit.
I welcome you, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come.
Come.
Through generations, the Catholic Church has had a come, Holy Ghost, come, Holy Spirit prayer that they've prayed. And it's given peace. It's given strength. It talks about how let the fire of the Holy Spirit be on us. And it's a beautiful prayer. And that is what I'm encouraging you to be praying. Pray, come, Holy Spirit. Make me sensitive to you today. Come, let me hear your voice. Let me see you. And I understand how gracious you are. And we love you, Lord. We love you. So let's sing that song again.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill me with your power. Live inside of me.
That part again.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
dead in my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we worship you, Lord.
this morning, Lord, we've just come into this place to tell you how much we love you. We ask you, O God, be enthroned on our praises. That's what your word declares. In fact, your word tells us you are enthroned on our praises. We are so grateful. We are grateful to be yours. We're grateful to be alive. We're grateful to have the privilege of worshiping you together today. Lord Jesus, be with us now, even as we go to your word. Lord, write your word in our hearts and in our minds, that we might hear you, dig out our ears, that we might see you, open our eyes. Let our hearts beat entwined with you, so that we might see you, welcome you, hear you, be transformed by you, so that when we finish our time today, we are more like you than we've ever been before. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the power of your word, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. If you'll pull out your Bibles, please, gang, go ahead and go to John chapter 14. We'll be going there today. Some of our key scriptures will be in John chapter 14. But I want to talk for just a couple moments before I even begin the message. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is our teacher today. But I want to talk for a few moments about the homegoing of a powerful man of God, a real theologian in the body of Christ, an apologist, one for whom we all can give great thanks, Ravi Zacharias. He died on the 19th, and he transitioned. He went on to his eternal life. He was coronated, if you will, as he went fully into the presence of God. I read an article about him from Tony Perkins, and that there was a part of a verse that was read to him when Ravi Zacharias was in the hospital after having attempted a suicide at age 17. Someone came in, and he was a deep thinker. He was a failed attempt to take his own life, obviously. He was a brilliant young man. He was brilliant all through his life. But without Christ, he saw no reason to live. But he received these words, "Because I live," Jesus said, "you will live. Because I live, you will live." John 14. Verse 19, and we just happened to be in John 14 this morning, and then I came across this and thought it was well worth our attention as we thank God for this man. The words did something inside of him. He lived, he prayed, he pledged his life to God, that if he made it out of the hospital, he would give his life wholly and fully to Jesus Christ. And he did exactly that. And for the next however many, 57 years, he served Jesus and did everything he could to give deep thinkers a reason to understand how much God loves them, lives for them, lives in them, and will help them live forever as well. Many years later, his wife Margie and he happened to take time in the only Christian cemetery in Delhi, India, to find his grandmother's grave. And they were shocked on her tombstone or at her grave marker to find these words, "Because I live, you will live also." He came to quickly understand that his grandmother had devoted him to the Lord and had prayed him in to a relationship with Jesus Christ that has impacted the entire world. You never go wrong to listen to Ravi Zacharias. Find him on YouTube. You could go to his website and find so many powerful things. He won multiplied thousands of people to Christ, and he had his grandmother in his life to thank for everything that took place. Isn't that a powerful story? Because I live, you will live also. As we think about Memorial Day and as we think about Ravi Zacharias and some of the others who are close to us, you know that feeling of loss where someone really close moves away or passes away, moves on. Sometimes the pain is fresh as we think about it. There's an emptiness, a hurt. And it takes a while if that ever, it does. In our case as Christians, it transitions into the joy of knowing where those who love the Lord have gone forever. That's why we want to pray for our family members and our friends who don't yet know Jesus, that we have the joy of transitioning into thanksgiving for their memory and that we will see them again. Jesus, in John 14, led his disciples into foot washing. And it was such a powerful expression. In fact, the Bible says because he knew he had come from God and was going to God, he led them into foot washing. Love. But then he's distressed. He announces that one of them will betray him. The Bible declares that John, who was leaning on his breast or leaning on his shoulder, you know, Peter motions to him and says, find out who's he talking about? He says, it's the one I dip the bread with. It turned out to be Judas. The Bible tells us that Satan then entered into Judas, and Jesus said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out. But it left Jesus with his 11 disciples who were sensing the love, yet the sorrow, the confusion, the wondering over next steps, because the Lord had told them he was going to be beaten, died, buried, and crucified, died and buried, and then rise again. But they didn't have any idea what he meant. But he led them and spoke these words to them that are absolutely powerful and even for us today. He provided for them. He provides for you and for me. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, who is the tangible expression of love. The tangible expression of God's love is God, the Holy Spirit. By the way, he's not an it. He is a living being, a living person who dwells within us. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he is God. And he lives within us. John 14, Jesus expresses his love. He tells his disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm going to be answering your prayers. And then he promises these verses, verses 16 through 19. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The natural mind can't fathom these things, but the Spirit of God teaches us and shows us. But you know him, Jesus said. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Listen to this. I love this. Verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. That's powerful. I will come to you. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. King James says, I'll not leave you comfortless. Actually, the better verse is right there in New King James, or the better word, rather. The true to the Greek is orphanos. Orphans. I will not leave you bereaved. I will not leave you parentless. Some of you may have been parentless. Some of you might have grown up in a foster home. Some of you might have spent time there, may have been adopted. I know my precious son and his wife and family in Butte, Montana have adopted and fostered many children, and their hearts are great big. And he says, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. And they accept those children into their hearts and into their homes, and they're part of the Hunter family. Jesus knows his disciples are shaken, but he's providing for each of them, and he's sending the Holy Spirit to be in each one of us. Each moment of each day, we're not alone. I just want to say it again because the Spirit's prompting me to do so. No matter how you feel, no No matter how distant you may feel, you are not an orphan. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Too often, again, we think of the Holy Spirit as a gift instead of the person, Holy Spirit. He's God's tangible expression of love. More verses, verses 26 and 27 of John chapter 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, Parakletos with Paraclete, Comforter, comes alongside. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace, then he goes right on. There's your context for this peace. Receiving the Holy Spirit, allowing his comfort, his presence within us to well up within us as we're sensitive to him. Then we receive, no matter what the circumstances, COVID-19 or flooding, which is disastrous back east, and people hurting, people having passed, and we understand that hurt and pain. We grieve for people. But the Spirit of God says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm here with you now. In that context, peace. Peace. I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, says Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Troubled in the Greek means don't let it be stirred up. Don't let it, like roiling water, don't let your heart be agitated. Afraid means timid. Don't be timid. Bring all things to your remembrance. Literally in the Greek means, I will remind you quietly, suggest to your memory that God is here. Number two, he's speaking, so let's be listening. He's speaking, so let's be listening. John 16, I'm going to read from John 16 now, if you want to turn over, then to verse 7, and then I'm going to go to verses 13 through 15. John 16, 13 through 15. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Let's be listening. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Great message preached by President Steve Holder, Pastor Steve Holder, President of the Fellowship Network, right here in Port Ludlow when he was with us a couple of years ago after our Fellowship Network regional conference that we'd held. And it was all about how the Holy Spirit is God's advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. However, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. You receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. You wouldn't even become a believer if the Holy Spirit hadn't been brooding in your life and on mine. And we surrender, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But there is something more, something additional. He's told them to wait in Jerusalem till they be clothed upon, empowered with the dunamis, the power from on high, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a whelmed, a fully whelmed, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, letting the river of God flow in you and flow through you. In Ephesus, Paul says to certain disciples on the road to Ephesus, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. He said, what did you receive then? They said, we received John's baptism, a good water baptism. And then he went on to explain to them that there's more. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he led them into a fresh water baptism in the name of Jesus, not just John's baptism. And then he went on to lead them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He laid hands upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. This experience was just ahead of his disciples in John 14 and 16 for the day of Pentecost. It was coming.
Now here we are. He's speaking to you, breathing upon you, prompting you, leading you, bringing Jesus' words back to you in the moment of your need. He's groaning in you and groaning through you in your moment of need. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray through you and through me. He is so wonderful. And he's right here doing this in you and in me. As you dwell in his presence, wait upon him. Be sensitive to him. And he will speak to you and speak in you. When you're on the spot sharing Jesus, he'll give you the words in those hours. But you have to have put the word of God first into your own heart. Word in, word out. If you let the Spirit of God dwelling within you, and the Word of God richly dwelling inside you, the Holy Spirit has something to draw back out and to prompt you with in that moment you need. Listen to the scripture, Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, Luke 12, verses 11 and 12, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That Greek for teach is didasko, means an ongoing line upon line teaching. He is going to prompt you, remind you, teach you, quicken you with the word you need in that hour, in your moment of need. You won't have to run back and get your notebook with your sermon notes in it. The Holy Spirit is there. He's there to prompt and teach and lead and speak and word in, word out. I can't say it enough. I hope that in this time of set apart time with the Lord in quarantine, that you have taken time with Jesus, taken time to bask in the presence of God and in the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God pray through you, speak in tongues. If you haven't received that gift yet, there's a gift yet for you. It's most of all his presence with you, speaking through you and praying and dwelling in his presence, singing and rejoicing. I hope that you have taken time to bask in the Bible, in the Word of God. And let him teach you even deeper, because then there's that much more for him to prompt you with as he leads you. When you listen, he teaches you. 1 John 2, verse 27 declares, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you don't need that anyone should teach you. That same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as this has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, let me talk about that for a moment. That doesn't mean I don't need a teacher. I'm on my own. A lot of independent people quote that verse, say, I don't need any teacher. I just hear from the Holy Spirit on myself. That's not what that verse means. In fact, the Bible shows you all through the New Testament that we're plugged into the family of God. We need the family of God. You need some good pastors who will pray for you and declare the word of God to you. The apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, according to Ephesians 5 and 6 and all of those. Paul wasn't confused on this. Nor was John. This is in 1 John. But what this means is, this is in a context of antichrists being present in that day and that age, confusing people, teaching other things, saying Jesus had not come in the flesh. And here's the promise for you and me. The Holy Spirit will teach you, quicken you, give you checks between a lie or the truth. You'll be able to tell the difference between pyrite, fool's gold, and true gold. The Holy Spirit will send up red flags. They'll start waving around, and you'll know something's wrong with that you hear. You might not always be able to put your finger on it, but you'll know it because the Holy Spirit will protect you, check you, teach you. He's speaking if we listen. Let me tell you just a little story. Some of you might have heard this before. I was a kid. My brother Brad and I were very close friends. We moved a lot of times. My folks divorced, and I think I was maybe 10 years old. Brad and I were playing basketball, and we were out on the front sidewalk, and some guy comes by in a car, and he throws open his car door. And he says, hey, my dog is missing. And I love this dog. And I think he might have even had a picture for us. And he says, this is my dog. Can you want to get in and help me find my dog? Now, my parents had taught me not to pay attention to those kinds of strangers, not to do that. There wasn't anywhere near the kind of teaching that there is today on this. But just come and help me find my dog. I love dogs. If you know me, I love dogs. And I took one step forward. And my brother Brad stepped up, put his hand on my shoulder, and whispered into my ear, Kev, remember what our folks had taught us. Don't get in a car with a stranger. I stepped back and I thanked him. We refused the man who tried to convince us, and then he drove on. I'm convinced that I'm here today because my brother Brad spoke a word at the right time and kept me alive. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit is with you every moment of every day. Listen to him, and he'll keep us safe. He'll keep us safe. So what do? Recognize that the Father has more for you. Recognize that we need to wait. Take time. Wait on him. Pastor Sherry has incredible messages on gracechristiancenter.us and has a history of decades of richness in the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God, and teaches generations of people how to wait on God. To bind together by twisting together is the meaning of the word in the Greek, and intimacy with Jesus. Take time to wait on God. A lot of people getting stirred up right now. We have our First Amendment rights. We have this, we have that, and we should be doing this, and we should be doing that. And what we really need to do is wait on him. Doesn't mean there aren't things we should be doing, and we are, naturally. But I'm saying there's a higher purpose in Jesus and in the Spirit. Wait on him. Pray, sing, worship. Get out your notebook and turn off the TV. Take time with him. Then, like I said, write down. Get out your notebook. Write down what he speaks to you. Some people say, oh, I never hear from Jesus. You have those promptings in the Lord for you. He wants to guide you. Just write down. Even it's a suggestion. It's a thought. It's a Holy Ghost suggestion. It's a Holy Ghost thought. Now, if you feel like after this intimate time with Jesus, you hear him tell you to go rob a bank, you're way off beam. Don't write that down. That's wrong. That's not what he's going to say. Probably tell you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. He'll probably quicken a verse of scripture to your heart. But write it down. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God groan through you and pray through you as you wait on him, and go to the Word of God and let him open your eyes, teach you, convict you and me, confirm and encourage you in the Word of God. And then I want you to say, over the next week, next Sunday's Pentecost Sunday, would you just pray every day and take a few moments and say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come in me. Move in me, to me, through me, on me. Holy Spirit, I give you room. You're my teacher. Jesus, I worship you. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' words. Take time. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Amen. For more on this topic and the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the offices of the Spirit of God, we invite you to go to gracechristiancenter.us, our website, because you'll find plenty of messages on there about the moving of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. By the way, those who hear that and go, oh, wow, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, the expression of the gifts and offices, there's chapter 13. It's all about love relationship with Jesus and all of the gifts of the Spirit are to be expressed in a spirit of love. But they are there. And he tells us not to despise prophesying and don't forbid to speak in tongues. And all of those things are there for our instruction. Give him room. GraceChristianCenter.us. If you are brand new to the Lord, there's a special series on there, absolutely free. You can download a lot of materials. It's called Launching Your Faith and Get Your Foundations Down on the Lord. If you are saved, you've been through that, and there's lots of messages on there for you to enjoy. If you have questions, write us here, PastorKevinHunter@gmail.com. And Pastor Sherry Hunter at gmail.com. Now, Sherry is S-H-E-R-R-I. Pastor Sherry Hunter at gmail.com. We want to thank you so much for standing with us in your giving and in your contributions before the Lord, your tithes and offerings. There are three ways you might give. Go to gracechristiancenter.us. There's a button on there to be able to push and follow it through. It's very simple, very straightforward. And if you can't do that, write us here at 240 Maple Lane. Grace Christian Center, 240 Maple Lane, Port Ludlow, Washington, 98365. We thank you for giving. We are continuing to minister to the needy and help with food distribution and other needs for the under-resourced in our county as well as around the world. And we thank you. As a church, we're still here and functioning, and thanks that you're with us as well. We love you all. We look forward to being together again very soon. And when you're on GraceChristianCenter.us, if you have a special prayer request, we have a dedicated team of spiritual warfare warriors who will pray on your behalf, led by wonderful people. Go and click on that prayer line, and you can just submit that need. We'll pray for you. We will be here on Sunday morning and next week, but we also on Wednesday, Grace Gathering at 1 to 2:30. If you want to be involved in that, write us also, and we can send you that Zoom address to be able to join us for that. And we have prayer at noon on Fridays. We love you. This is the day the Lord has made. We do rejoice. We are glad in it. We pray the blessing of the Lord is yours. Well, raise your hands for the blessing as you would, if you would, as we close. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Be blessed. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Thanks for being here.